Good afternoon, everyone. I love the way, I love all our worship leaders, but Makiko, when Makiko leads worship, it's great because she really repeats a lot, again and again, and the words always just go in, and whenever I think, okay, this is the end, and then she goes again to repeat it, it's so good because I think, yeah, I need to sing it again. So thank you, Makiko. Yeah. Okay. Open your Bibles to the book of 1 John. It's at the end of your Bible, just before you reach Revelation. You'll have June, and then 3 John, 2 John, and then 1 John. While you're turning to the book of 1 John, would like to just welcome, I think it's your first time, it's Hannah. Yes. Just welcome to our church, and I hope that you feel the warmth and the love of God while you're visiting us here. So, we're beginning a new series this month. It's on light and love through the book of 1 John. We are coming to the end of our journey through the New Testament. We started in the book of the Gospel of John in January. And we're going to finish with the book that John wrote, the book of Revelation, next month. And in order to sort of prepare myself for the study in Revelation, I wanted to go through the book of 1 John as a lead up to that. Great book. Would recommend that you would read it with me this month. If you don't have a reading plan or you don't read regularly through the Bible, read 1 John this month, every day. There's 5 chapters. It's not long. It will be 20 minutes if you read the whole thing. And if you're slow like me, 30 minutes. And it's great. Wonderful book. One writer says, it's so easy that a child can play in its depth, but it's so deep that an elephant can drown in its depth. So, great book, and I would recommend it to you. Okay, so we're going to read 1 John chapter 1. Verse 5, and we'll go into chapter 2 all the way to verse 6. I'll read from verse 5, and please join me at chapter 2, verse 1. So let's read. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's read together. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. And this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. These are the very words of God. Amen. There's a great song in here. A few years ago, Jim gave me and my family a CD. And the CD was of this man, Colin Buchanan. And he writes songs that are just, they should be hymns. They're so full of truth and so encouraging. So a great, great song here. Speaking of songs, we sang a really great song today. It was the last song that we sung. It's, I think, Here I Stand is the title. And it goes great with our message today. I Belong to You. That's the name. And so the verse goes, Here I stand forever in your mighty hand, living with your promise written in my heart. Your promise is the promise of life. And the promise is, I will give you life if you give me your death. I will give you forgiveness if you give me your sin. That's my promise. And the promise is what we read in verse 9 of chapter 1. If we confess our sins, then he is faithful to his promise to forgive us. And when that is written on our heart, I am yours, surrendered wholly to you. You set me in your family. And that's also in the book of 1 John and chapter 2, or chapter 3. But is the next part. Yeah. Now I belong to you. All I need, your spirit, your word, your truth, hear my cry. My deep desire to know you more. That word know is a word from that song. That's just a song. But the word itself is actually in the book of 1 John. I think I counted about 36 times. The book of 1 John is written, and one of the reasons was so that we can know him more. And there is a different kind of knowledge that goes deeper than, like, you know, I know English, or I know math, or I know it. But there is a knowledge that's what the Bible calls gnosis, or experiential knowledge. I'm 40 now, and when I was 20, I knew having children is difficult. I had no children when I was 20. But I was in church, and there's always children, and I was part of a VBS, Vacation Bible School, in the summer, and we would take care of children. Having children is difficult. I was 20. I knew children could be difficult. But now I'm 40, and I have 4 children, almost 6 children. I know children can be difficult. Now, I use the word know, but there's a difference at 40 than there is at 20, right? There's a different know. And the song says, I want to know you more. I want to know you like I know the difference between light and dark, sin and purity, life and death, a truth and a lie. I want to know. And so that's such an important theme in 1 John. Okay, let's go back to the scripture. 1 John, just a two-minute introduction. The book is about two things. Today I'll preach on one of them. It's light and love. We read in the first five, this is our message, which we heard. God is light. And so chapter one and into chapter two, he's talking about the difference between light and darkness. And then in chapter three, he's talking about love. God is love. Let us love one another. So I'll preach that next week. And those are the two big themes in 1 John. And it's good. It's really good. Okay. So the thing about light is, all week, I've been studying this all week. I've been reading a lot, listening to a lot. And all these authors and commentators and experts and theologians, they talk about light. What does light mean? And what does light do? What's the nature of light? You know, how good is light? And how much we need light. And it's like, you're reading and you're listening, and it's all like a philosophy class, you know? What's light? But John, no. John doesn't care about like philosophy and you know, all this, you know, wonderful thinking. He wants to see how we live. That's it. And so he'll say, God is light. And he won't say, now let's talk about light. What does it mean? And all that. He just says, this is how light changes our life. And this is how it looks to live day by day, morning by morning, in light. And I love that. It's so real, so powerful. Light, you're going to find it from the beginning of your Bible to the end of your Bible. I don't have time to go through all of it. There's about 200 times the word light is in the Bible, so we can't go through all of it. Let me give you a few. Page 1 of your Bible. Genesis, chapter 1, verse 3. God said, let there be light. Right? So God is the source of light. It comes from God. And then God's taking his people through Exodus, out of Egypt. They have to go from one place to another. They have no Google map, no navigation, nothing, no map. So how does God guide them? By a pillar of light, a cloud filled with the glory of light. By day and by night, another pillar of light. By fire. But the leader, Moses, says, God, I don't want to go from Egypt to the promised land if you don't go with us. Show me your glory. So God says, you want to see me? Well, yeah, a man cannot see me and live. So let's put you in the little cave in the rock. And I'm going to walk by, and I'll let you see the back of me. Right? And so Moses sees the back of God, and it's the glory, the light. Right? God says, make a tent where you can meet me. And you'll sacrifice the blood for the life. And when everything's ready and prepared, the light comes in to the tent. It's the Shekinah glory. And then after the tent, they make a big building, the temple. It can rain, and there's no water that goes inside. And again, the light of God's glory fills the temple. It's light. That's the Old Testament. And there's a lot more light in the New Testament, but here our author is John. So I want to show you how John uses the word light. You don't have to go there, but just trust me. It's in, or you can go there if you like, if you don't trust me. But John chapter 1, this is the Gospel of John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So God was there at the beginning. And then here's what he says. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. That life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There's a darkness around the world. It's not, you know, President Trump. It's not North Korea. It's not global warming. It's not oppressive. It's not that, okay? There's a deeper darkness that needs more than a new president, that needs more than recycling your garbage. There needs to be light. And it's the light of life. So what's the meaning of light in John? Life. Okay, that's one of them. Okay. John chapter 3, Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 19. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And everyone who does evil hates light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Okay, now we're getting closer to where I live. This light is the life of mankind. And this life is lived under the truth of God. So this light is life, this light is truth. So that what I do is plainly see. I'm not hiding anything. So, you know, back to Genesis chapter 3 now. Adam and Eve, they're in the garden, and they have light. They're not hiding. They're naked. There's no shame. And then what happens? They decide, no, I'm going to choose how I want my light. I will decide what is right and wrong, good and evil. I will choose. Well, how did they find that out? Well, there was a tempter. There was an evil one who lied, who brought the darkness. He said, here's what he said to the Eve. He said, Eve, what did God really say? You're not going to die. You are going to be like God. And you're going to know good and evil. Which is crazy, because they were already like God. Genesis 1, 26, 27. Let us make man in our image, our likeness. We had the likeness of God already, but Satan was twisting the truth. And he used the lie to make us liars. How did he make us liars? Because we decided, yeah, we believe that lie. And so our decision was, oh, okay. So God's goodness is not good enough. God's truth is not true enough. So I'm going to decide what's good for me. I'm going to decide what's true for me. Isn't that what people say today? Oh, that's good for you. You have Jesus and you have church and you have Christian and you have the Bible. That's good for you, but I know what's good for me. Right? Because what you have is not good enough for me. So there's now, we're making God a liar. Because God said, I know what's good for you. And we're saying, no, you don't know what's good for me. I know what's good for me. You're a liar. But John's answer is, no, no, no. There's no darkness in God. But let's keep going. John chapter 8, it gets even more specific. God is life in truth, right? John chapter 8, Jesus is talking now. Verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So God said, let there be light. And then John chapter 1, the light comes into the world. That light is the light of men. And who is that light? It's not some just power. It's not some energy. It's Jesus. It's the person of Jesus. And he says, I'm the power. I'm the energy. I'm the life. You follow me, you have the light. We're getting this? I want this to get into us. This is all in our Bible. And at the end of the book of the Bible, we started on page 1, now we go to the last page, Revelation chapter 22. Talking about the new earth and the new heaven. And God's people now, sin is finished, death is conquered, Satan is defeated, and God's people are in the new earth. There's a new heavens too. And here's what it says, Revelation 22, verse 5. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of a sun. For the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Is it literal? Is it a symbol? I'm figuring that out. I'm still studying it. Okay. But what he's saying there is, look, there's something about a relationship with God. Something about our fellowship with God, our friendship with God, our covenant with God. There's something about it where the troubles of night, the fears of the darkness, the terrors, you know, the anxieties, the worries of I don't know where I'm going because I can't see, that's done. We're done, right? Because there's something about our relationship with God. Miwa has a taste of it. Some of you have a taste of it. When it's like, I don't have to worry. I don't have to be afraid. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's not dark because God, who is light, is with me. Okay, now I have to stop talking about this in weird. Let's start getting real. Go back to the scripture. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. From him, Jesus. And we declare, we preach it to you, to everybody. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If you have your own Bible, okay, scroll down or scroll over or turn the page to chapter 3. In him there's no darkness at all. What does that mean, really? Chapter 3, verse 5. You know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. In him is no sin. Did you catch that? In him, there's no darkness. In him, there's no sin. God is light. Some people think, I can't believe in God. I look at the world, I see the chaos, the typhoons, the hurricanes, the floods, the earthquakes. It's evil. How could God let that happen? If God is so good, why is all this evil happening? How could a child fall dead in the water trying to escape a country with a terrible ruler? How could God let that? That's evil. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. We continue. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie. We do not live out the truth. So I want you to now catch the difference not only between light and darkness. Please catch the difference between what we say and how we live. And what we say is there in verse 6. If we claim, and it's there in verse 8. If we claim to be without sin. And look at verse 10. If we claim we have not sinned. You see that? And chapter 2, verse 6. Whoever claims to live. You see that? I need to give some bad news. There are many Christians, well, there's many people who claim to be Christians. They say, okay, I follow the Bible. I follow Jesus. I go to a church. I am a follower of Jesus. I'm a Christian. I claim it. But they want to take things from work. It's not theirs. They want to do jobs that their boss will not allow them to do. They want to break their contracts. They want to have a date or have relationships or have sex however they want, whenever they want. They want to they want to treat their children however they want. To treat their wife however they want. Nothing to do with the light of the truth in the Bible. They want to talk one way at church, and then you get home from church and they're a completely different person. There's a word in the Bible called faithfulness. Faithfulness is related to this word integrity. Are you familiar with integrity? Integrity? It means you're the same in one place and the other. Integrity. So there's a word we call, in mathematics, it's called the integer, the integral number. That's a number that's not a fraction. So it's a whole number, an integer. It means this. Our life is not divided. Work, home, church. It's not, it's all one. So if I am this way at church, I'm going to be this way at work. And if I'm this way at work, I'm going to be this way with my friends. And if I'm this way at night, I'm going to be this way during the day. It's whole. It's the same. If we claim to be one way here, we're going to live that way everywhere else. Otherwise, we're liars. The truth is not in us. So here's the Christian. The Christian understands, I'm a hypocrite. Yeah. Because I'm not here to tell you, Pastor Chris, is this guy the same person you see on this pulpit? I'm not the same one at church, at home. You don't have to ask my wife. I'll admit it freely to you. I'm not the greatest man in the world. And anyone else who wants to admit that, let's come to the cross together. Together. The Christian says, yeah, there's darkness in me. That's why I need Jesus. Because he showed his light on this side. And now I can say, okay, Jesus, I get it. I'm selfish here. I'm lazy here. I'm perverted here. So I'll give you that. And then what does he do? He takes the light and he shines it over here. And I said, what? Okay, Jesus, I'm a liar over here. I'm arrogant in this situation. And he says, okay, all right, good. We're getting there. We're starting. And he shines it over here where I can't see. And I said, oh, okay, Jesus. Okay, I'll say it. I have my words. And I'm just an idiot with my mouth sometimes over here. And the Christian is someone who says, yes, it goes a lot deeper than I thought. It goes a lot deeper. And there's so much more to it than I thought. My sin. My darkness. But Jesus is so good, he's so patient, that he says, Chris, the moment you confess, I'm going to set you free. I purify you. I cleanse you. There's this place in the Bible. It's in Psalms 51. And God has turned the light on David, the king. David had no idea how much of an adulterer and a murderer he was. He had no idea. Well, he knew, but he didn't really know. And so God turns the light, pop! And he's crushed. He says, oh God. And he writes this psalm in chapter 51. And the first thing he says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your great love, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. And he goes on, create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Cleanse me and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. So here's what David did. The light was shown. And here's what he did. He stopped hiding. God turned the light on, showing him his darkness and his sin. And instead of Adam and Eve covering themselves and running away, he went to God and said, okay, take this sin. Take this heart. Take this, Lord. That's what Jesus does for us. He says, don't run away. I'm showing you the light so you can come closer. Amen, somebody. Yes, come closer. Come closer to the light. Walk in the light. And the closer you come, the more you understand your sin, and the more you can confess. And the more you can confess, the more freedom, the more joy, the more cleansing. His blood purifies us, right? That's what we read. So come. Don't run away. Come. The doors are open. Come. Come through Jesus. How? Well, we read it. How? Verse 7 of chapter 1. We have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus purifies us from all sins. Let me explain that in verse 2 of chapter 2. Go down to chapter 2, verse 2. He, Jesus, is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Not only for ours, holy cow, but for also the sins of the world. Holy cow. Do you understand this? Okay. Jesus forgives me through the atoning sacrifice of his blood. Divine justice. I was explaining it to Kyohei, my son, this week. This is difficult. All right, here we go. Let me try. And I'll use the same thing I used on my boys. So one boy is a genius. He loves, he makes the most amazing Lego spaceships. Lego, you know Lego? And he's just look what I made. Oh, let me take a picture, right? And it's not like, you know, a spaceship that's like from Star Wars. It's like art. It's not just a cockpit and wings. It's like a kitchen and a bedroom. It's a spaceship. No, not a spaceship. He made a snowflake one time. He made snow with Lego. Okay. So he makes these beautiful things. Now one brother comes in, and he doesn't care. He just, right? Breaks the thing. Okay. So if one person makes the Lego and another one breaks the Lego, who should fix the Lego? Who has to repair the Lego? The one who broke it. Otherwise, it's fukohei. It's not fair. It's not just. So when God makes life, and then we break the life, divine justice, God's righteousness, someone has to pay for that life. The problem is we don't have the power or the ability to pay for that. So God has to do it himself. He needs an atonement. And the atonement for that sin is Jesus Christ. Someone has to pay. We couldn't pay, so God paid through Jesus. Jesus paid. And not only for our sin, here's the thing now. If you understand God's forgiveness of you, listen to me. Please listen to me. If you understand that God pays for your sin against him, then you are willing to pay for the sins that someone has sinned against you. What are you saying, Pastor Chris? Okay, let me be clear. Someone has offended you. Someone has sinned against you. Someone has broken the friendship, relationship, covenant with you. Someone has to pay. Now, for me, here's what I do. I will let you pay. I will let you pay. It's called revenge. It's called Chris's justice. Okay. I will be cold. I will be mean. I will be superior, arrogant. I won't talk. Or if I talk to you, I will be hard to you. Because you need to pay for your sin against me. And then Jesus talks to me in Matthew chapter 5. This is how you pray, Chris. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. Right? So, and then Jesus says, your forgiveness is tied to their forgiveness. Your grace is tied to their grace. The less grace you give to them, that means you don't understand the grace I've given you. If you don't know how to forgive them, it means you don't understand how much I've forgiven you. You see, it says, verse 2, chapter 2, and not only for our sin, but also for the sins of the world. I know it says, Jesus forgives everybody. Yeah, I don't know everybody. I only know the ones who sin against me. And the more I understand God forgiving me, the more I can forgive them. That's what it means to walk in the light. So we go from my sin and God dealing with my sin through his light. And now we're going to go into those who sinned against me. That's what it means to walk in the light. We're dealing with my sin and my closets and my skeletons. But when Jesus is finished dealing with all that, he gives me power and more light to go into these other parts and give light to other people. And not just preaching, this is what Jesus says, and you're doing bad, and you're wrong, and you're... No. Let's have fellowship with one another. I don't know. I hope it's feeding. I hope it's working. This is all I can say. Okay, verse 4 of chapter 2. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. The truth is not in that person. Look, don't even stop calling yourself a Christian if you don't know how to forgive other people. That's it. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. Amen. I need to end with some good news, okay? Your own Bible, chapter 2, verse 8. It's not in there. I didn't put it in the bulletin. Chapter 2, verse 8. I am writing you a new command. Its truth, its light is seen in him and in you. The darkness is passing, and the true light is already shining. Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's here. It's already shining. Here I stand, forever in your promises. So, it's already there. You have it. Oh, dear brother and sister in Christ, you have it. Let it shine all the more. So when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The fellowship between God the Son and God the Father was broken, okay? And you know what happened? What happened to the light? It went dark. On the cross, right in the middle of the day, Jesus was taking our sin and all the lights went out. You read it, it's in your Bible. What is that showing us? Jesus was taking all of our darkness into himself. Do you catch that? all of our sin, all of our pain, all of our worries, trials, temptations, all of our filth, all of our guilt, all of our lies, the lies I said yesterday, the lies I said this morning, it was all taken on him. And then what happens? I get the light. I get the light. He gets the darkness. I get the light through the cross. Thank you, Lord. We have to go to the cross. Let's go to the cross. Father, we thank you for the cross, that in the cross you absorbed the darkness. You are light. In you there is no darkness. But he who knew no sin became sin so that we can become the righteousness of God. You took our darkness that we could receive light. So, Father, we come once more to the cross where we can receive that light. We offer ourselves to you. We offer the sin, the lies, the shame. We confess our hypocrisy, our arrogance, our selfishness, and we repent of our thoughts, our attitudes that are a lie. And once more at this very time, we receive forgiveness and grace and new life. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name.